To continue our series, The Bible from Beginning to End, using the 20 C's. If anybody needs a handout, just lift your hand up real high. Our ushers will be glad to put one in your hand. And there's some verses on there we're going to look at. Revelation, chapter number 20. We are on the 18th C. I'm not going to take the time to review because we really don't have the time to do it. So I will tell you this, though, by way of review. There has been 17 previous C's. All right, if that helps. There's been 17. And if you'd like to get a copy of any of those, they're back there on the back table. One of those tables back in the foyer has folders. And it's got all the previous C's. And it's got the blanks filled in for you so that you have those. Okay? And you can go back and get caught up if you missed any of those. I'm hoping at the end of the series, you're going to have all 20 in your book. And you're going to have a notebook that you can keep for future reference so that when you read portions of Scripture, you can go back, you can look where it fits. You know, one of the things I've found out as I've studied God's Word through the years, and that is this. When you read the Bible, are you ever going to understand every verse? No, I don't. Okay, there are verses I read even yet today, and I look at it and go, wow. Man, I'd love to know what that means, you know. But, you know, there's verses that you read, you may not be able to figure out every verse. But here's what's cool about it, all right? Even though you may not know every verse, it's awesome. At least you know where it fits, see? And that makes a big difference. In other words, if I read a verse that's in, Numbers, I may not quite get it and figure the thing out. But at least if I know that this is under the Old Testament law and God's giving Israel the law of Moses here, well, that helps me. At least I know where it fits. I may not be able to figure the verse out, but at least I know where it fits in the plan of God. And so same thing in Revelation. You may read some verses in Revelation and you just scratch your head and think, man, I don't know what that means. But at least if you know where it fits, that's liberating to know that. So, we're hoping that through the series, you see where things fit. You see where the pieces of the puzzle, you know, fit together. So we're on the 18th C. And, just if we'll bring up the basic timeline chart, I'll just real quickly just kind of go back. Are y'all cold tonight, by the way? Is it a little chilly? If we could turn the air. Who have I got? Anyone back there that can? Seth, thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. If we could just kind of cut the air a little bit, I think that might help. All right. It is so hard to regulate the air, you know, because if it gets too hot, you guys go comatose on me, you know. So, and if it gets too cold, that's distracting too. But what we did is we looked at the church. That was one of the C's. Then we looked at the catching up, which is going to end the present dispensation of grace that we live in. The rapture, we call it the catching up. And then we looked at chastisement, the 7 years where God's going to bring wrath on the earth. And we call that chastisement. Okay. And then we looked at the sea, which we called it the coming of Christ. And that's where Christ comes back at the revelation down to the earth. So we just spent 2 weeks on the coming of Christ to the earth. Well, once he comes back, then what? Then what happens once Christ returns? Well, that's what we want to look at tonight. And this sea is coronation. So let's go to Revelation 20 and let's start reading in verse 1. It says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven. Okay, Christ has just come back in chapter 19. He's taken the Antichrist, the false prophet. He's thrown him into the lake of fire, Revelation 19, 20. Now, all of a sudden, John sees an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the what? Bottomless pit, and a great chain is in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him, how long? 1,000 years. So I want you to get that statement in your handout. When Christ returns to the earth, first thing that happens we see is Satan will be chained into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Can I ask you a question? Well, go to verse 3. It says, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. You know, when Christ comes back to the earth and Satan is chained into the bottomless pit, aren't you going to enjoy seeing that? That should solicit a really big amen even on a Wednesday night when you're tired. Satan's bound in the bottomless pit. Yeah. Amen. Isn't that going to be a great thing to see? Oh, wow. Basic timeline chart. If we could go back to the basic timeline chart. Christ comes back. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. So he's down here in the heart of the earth where the bottomless pit is located. He is chained into the bottomless pit. So that means that Satan's evil influence will be gone from the earth. Right now, what's Satan doing? According to 1 Peter 5, 7, he's what? Roaming the earth, seeking whom he may devour. He's deceiving. He's destroying. He's devouring. We talk sometimes about, boy, Satan's fighting me. You know, and we understand what we mean because he has a lot of demons at work. I doubt if any of us have done hand-to-hand combat with Satan himself. Satan can only be in one place at one time. And Satan has got some pretty big fish to fry in that he is working at deceiving the nations. He's working through key figures, key political figures, so that he can control the nations and so that he can continue to implement his world system. But of course, we know he also has many of the angelic hosts that followed him in his rebellion that also are at his disposal and at his beckoning call. What do we call the 1,000-year period right here? We call it the kingdom, but what's another name we use for it? We call it the millennium. The millennium. Christ comes, he establishes his kingdom on the earth. And why would we call it the millennium? Does anybody know why would we call it that? That's what millennium means. Millennium means 1,000 years. That's right. Every 1,000 years, we have a new millennium. How many of you remember Y2K? Remember Y2K? All that means is the year 2000, right? And Y2K, Y2K, 2000. And so that's pretty cool that we got to be alive to see the bringing in of a new millennium. I mean, not a whole lot of generations get to see that. And we got to see the year 2000, a new millennium, come in. And so, you know, we call a 1,000-year period a millennium. Well, this is special right here in that it is the millennium, the millennium. The term 1,000 years is mentioned 6 times in Revelation 20, 1 through 8. You saw it there in verse 2. He's bound 1,000 years. You see in verse 3, he deceives the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. You go through here, the end of verse 4. It says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Verse 6, the end of the verse, it says, they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And so we see the phrase 1,000 years used 6 times over the course of the first 7 or 8 verses there in Revelation 20. What's my point? My point is this is a literal 1,000-year period. Because you're going to hear Bible teachers and you're going to read books that do not believe that Christ will return and establish a literal kingdom on the earth. They believe that he's reigning spiritually in the heavens over a spiritual kingdom and that this 1,000 years is allegorical and that it just is speaking of his rule in the heavenlies right now and that's what it's in reference to. But that's not true. There's no way that you can take this to be allegorical or symbolical. I mean, the phrase 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years is mentioned 6 times right after the return of Christ in Revelation chapter number 19. And so in your handout, give you a statement here. It says Christ will set up his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years. If we can go, Amanda, to the kingdom postponed chart, you'll notice that if you look at the chart here, This is what's been talked about in prophecies about this coming kingdom. And this is what Christ talked about when he came to the earth. He came to Israel. He preached the kingdom that's going to come of or from heaven is at hand. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. This is what he came preaching, see, to Israel. And it was offered to Israel. It was rejected in the early part of Acts. So now we're living in the time period of the parentheses where that kingdom program has been postponed. See, we're living in the kingdom postponed era right now. And it's been going on now for nearly 2,000 years where that kingdom program was postponed. But when the catching up takes place, well, then you've got the kingdom is going to be at hand again. And then Christ comes back down to the earth to establish that 1,000-year kingdom. But right now, we're in the kingdom postponed era. See, the prophetic program has been suspended. It's been postponed. It's been temporarily, the prophetic time clock has been stopped temporarily. And we're living in that parentheses, that unprophesied time of grace that we've talked about so much here in our Bible studies through the Bible. Now, can anybody tell me this? When Christ comes back down and he establishes that millennial kingdom, does anybody know where the center of his kingdom will be? What city? That's right. Go to your handout and let me show it to you. It's going to be Jerusalem. Look with me at your handout, Zechariah. I'm going to read some scriptures here from the prophet Zechariah. And notice what he prophesies. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion. So he's looking into the future here. And the Lord says, I'm returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. And the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts, where? In Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And so Christ, if you look back at the chart, if you go back to the basic timeline chart, boy, you are fast, Amanda. You are good. He comes back down here at the Revelation. He returns to the earth. He sets up his kingdom, and the center of it is Jerusalem. Now, his kingdom is over the whole earth, but the center of the kingdom will be here in Jerusalem. And so he sets up that kingdom there in Jerusalem. He descends here from heaven, comes to the Mount of Olives right outside of Jerusalem, where he will then come and establish his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. Now notice I said that he's going to return to this earth, the earth that you are on right now, the earth that is right now soaring through space. We are soaring through space right now and suspended in air. He's going to come back to this earth, this present earth. And the reason why I make a point of that is because Christ's kingdom, is it over after 1,000 years? Yes or no? No. The 1,000 years on this earth is really what I would call a honeymoon. Okay, it's a honeymoon to prepare people for Christ's eternal kingdom. When Mary received information from the angel about the child that she would give birth to, the angel said to her that this child that you have, that the Lord God is going to give him the throne of his father David. And he said that he is going to reign. Now listen closely. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. After 1,000 years, Christ, what the Bible teaches, and I'm not going to really get into this tonight because this is going to be the subject of the 20th C, okay? There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and Christ's reign will stretch into eternity. But what I want to focus on right now is I want to focus on this 1,000-year period on this earth. What is the character of His kingdom? What is the reign of Christ going to be like when He comes back down here to the earth? Well, look in your handout. Let me give you a few things here about this that will help you. Number one, Israel will be regathered and given the entire land area of Palestine, never to be removed again. Okay, they'll be given their land area, never to be removed again, and will live under a new covenant. They will live under a new covenant. Jeremiah 31 talks about that new covenant. And if you'll turn back a few books, keep your bookmarker here in Revelation. Go back to the book of Hebrews. Just go back a few books to Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter number 8. All right, let's go back to Hebrews 8 and let's begin reading there in verse 8. Hebrews 8, 8. It says, "For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a," notice this, "new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Okay, let's go over to verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." And so Christ is going to come back. He's going to regather Israel. He's going to give them their land area. And boom, he's going to establish that new covenant that was prophesied back in Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 34. He's going to establish that new covenant with the nation of Israel. And you know what's going to happen? The 12 apostles are going to be on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Go back to Matthew 19. I'll show you that real quickly. Matthew 19. Okay, Matthew 19, verse number 27. Okay, Peter here asked a question. Matthew 19, 27. Peter said, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" He says, "Jesus, we've forsaken all. We followed you. Now what are we going to get?" Look at verse number 28. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory." Notice that. Notice that. That he says, in the regeneration, that's that millennial kingdom, "when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon" what? 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so this is going to be a fulfillment of many Old Testament prophecies when this happens. All right, let's go back to your handout. What's the next thing about the kingdom on this earth? All nations, write that in, all nations will worship the King Jesus Christ. Now, this is where I want you to go to Isaiah, and we're going to look at a lot of verses in Isaiah. So I want you to get it and hold it, because if you can get Isaiah 2, you'll be ready for several cross-references that we're going to look at. Isaiah 2, chapter 2. We haven't forgotten about Revelation 20. We'll go back there in a little bit, but let's go to Isaiah 2. All nations will worship the King. There's a lot of references on this in your handout. A lot of the references are in your handout. We're not going to have time to look them all up tonight. We're just going to kind of hit the highlights. Isaiah 2, and let's begin reading in verse number, let's go to 2. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills." And notice this phrase, "and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, that's Jerusalem, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so all nations are going to worship the King Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Christ coming back, and I'm talking about a literal throne that's going to be established on this earth in Jerusalem. And I'm talking about literal nations from the earth that are going to come, and they're going to worship the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Boy, what a day that will be. Look at the next thing, and boy, this will bring an amen. War will be abolished. War will be abolished. I want you to go to Isaiah 2, verse 4. Let's read the next verse. Isaiah 2, 4. It says, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. That's when he comes back. And we saw that in Matthew 25 last week. He's going to come back and judge the nations. Remember, separate the sheep from the goats? It says, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears, these are instruments of war, into pruning hooks. So they're gonna take these weapons of war and start using them for farming utensils. Why? It says, nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they what? Learn war anymore. Whew. Peace on earth at last. Peace will never come to this earth until the Prince of Peace shows up. And when the Prince of Peace shows up, there'll be peace on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And man, there will be peace on earth at last. Nation will not rise up against nation anymore. Boy, what a blessing that will be. Wow. In your handout, it says righteousness and justice will prevail. Righteousness and justice will prevail. I'll read this to you. In Jeremiah 23, which is the next book after Isaiah, it says this. Jeremiah 23, 5. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called. Here's his name. The Lord, our righteousness. When Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, righteousness will prevail. Justice will prevail. You know, you look around the earth today, isn't there a lot of injustice today? A lot of injustice. You know, you see people who do violent crimes and they get off on a technicality, you know. And you see some folks that maybe never get caught. They sin, they do things, they never even get caught. And you look around and you see the world and you see sin and you see wickedness and you see problems and you see violence, and it's like Noah. Remember when violence filled the earth? And you look around the earth and you just see a lot of injustice on the earth. Well, when Jesus Christ comes back down to the earth, he's going to execute judgment. He's going to execute justice. And the Bible says back there in Revelation 19, he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Now, when you get over there into that kingdom, it's important that you remember that there will be people in the kingdom that still have natural fleshly bodies. If we go back to the basic timeline chart, there's going to be people that are going to live through this time period physically. They're going to live through it. They're going to be believers. Christ is going to come back down and lead them from here into here. So there will be people that will come into the kingdom with fleshly bodies. And they're going to have children. They'll still be children. There'll be a population explosion, as a matter of fact, that will take place during that 1,000-year millennial period. And so during this time period, there will be some who will outwardly rebel against Christ's rule and against his 1,000-year reign. But those who do that are going to incur immediate judgment. Look at Isaiah 11. Go over there, chapter number 11. Look at verse number 3. Isaiah, this is the character of his kingdom here that we're talking about. Isaiah 11, verse 3. And it says that, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Look at this. It says, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. When Jesus Christ rules and reigns on the earth, rebellion, wickedness, and sin will be dealt with swiftly. It will be dealt with quickly. And there won't be any more of this thing of criminals sitting around for years and years in prison, you know, watching cable TV and, you know, and using tax dollars to house them, okay? There won't be any more of that when Jesus Christ rules and reigns, okay? There won't be any more sitting around for years and years and years and years. You know, somebody who's murdered five people and they're just going to sit around for years waiting to be tried and convicted as they appeal and they appeal and they appeal and they appeal. It's going to be very cut and dried. The Bible says he's going to slay the wicked with the breath of his lips. He'll slay the wicked. You know, and so, you know, there's going to be people that are going to enter that kingdom with fleshly bodies. Some will dare to rebel against Christ, but that will be dealt with swiftly and very quickly. The earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Look down at Isaiah 11 and verse number 9. It says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Can I ask you something, church? Does that excite you to think the earth being full of the knowledge of the Lord? I mean, right now we're trying like everything to get these missionaries to the field, aren't we? We're trying like everything to get the Velazquez's to Spain. And we're going to try like everything to get the Richies to Mongolia. And we've been supporting the Canavans as they take the gospel to Ireland. But, you know, that reference we read in Hebrews says that they won't need to teach each other anymore, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. You know, Jesus Christ will be ruling on a visible, literal throne in Jerusalem, and the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. What an exciting day that's going to be. Those of you who are animal lovers are going to love this next one, okay? Look at the next thing there, number 7. Nature will be tamed. Nature will be tamed. Look at Isaiah 11. You're already there. And go down to verse 6. It says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. The curse will be lifted from creation, and nature will be tamed. Can you imagine in the millennial kingdom that, you know, people have, they have children, people in fleshly bodies have children, and you look, and here's this little toddler, and he's out there petting the lion? You know, and that's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. Nature will be tamed. And then, number 8, it says there will be a resurrection before the 1,000-year kingdom. This is where we need to go back to Revelation 20. Okay, Revelation 20. There will be a resurrection before the 1,000-year kingdom. Revelation 20, verse number 4. And I saw thrones, John said. Remember, Satan's in the bottomless pit. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were what? Beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Now, when somebody cuts your head off, what are you? You're dead. And it says at the end of the verse, and they, what? Lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, that's those who are lost in their sins, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. If we go back to the basic timeline chart, I want to show you something here. We see that there's a resurrection that takes place when he comes back here. And these people are resurrected that were beheaded during this time period. And they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now, let me ask you, when does the resurrection for us, the body of Christ, take place? When does that happen? That's right. It happened 7 years earlier here at the rapture. So our the first resurrection comes in two phases. It comes here in 7 years earlier at the rapture. The body of Christ goes up to meet the Lord in the air. But then he comes back down to the earth. And these people that are beheaded in here, they are resurrected to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, real quickly, before we move to the next C, and I'm going to cover the next one quickly. Next week we'll do 20, the last one. But right in this kingdom right here, the 1,000-year kingdom, you basically got four groups of people that are going to be alive during this time period. Okay? First of all, you're going to have believers who were killed during the tribulation, and they are going to be resurrected, and they are going to be ruling and reigning here in this kingdom. Then you've got those who lived in fleshly, physical bodies through the 7 years. They were spared of the judgments. They were spared of the beheading. They were spared of the Antichrist persecution. They went into the mountains. They hid. Okay? And you're going to have people from the Gentiles and Jews that are going to live through this time period. The Bible seems to infer that about a third of the world's population will survive physically through this time period. And so these people that are believers, they will enter into the kingdom with flesh and blood bodies. Okay, then you've got a third group that are going to be alive in this period. And that is those who will be born during the millennium. You're going to have a great host and a great multitude of people that are going to be born in this time period. We're going to talk more about that in a moment in the 19th C. And then the last group that will be alive, of course, are believers that form the body of Christ that were raptured 7 years earlier. And we are going to be ruling and reigning with Christ over the angelic host. We know that. And we're going to be ruling over the heavenlies. Not that we're not going to have access to the earth, but our main job is going to be ruling the angels, giving them their marching orders, and ruling over the heavenlies. Okay? So you got those four groups. Now let's go to the 19th C and let's knock it out real quick. And then next week we'll be ready for the 20th. Okay? The 19th C is condemnation. In your handout, it says, at the end of Christ's 1,000-year kingdom, Satan will be loosed. Now remember, where was Satan during the 1,000 years? Where was he? Bottomless pit. Now look at Revelation 20, verse 7. It says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be, and what's the next word? Loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now remember what we said. Look up here again at the chart. Let's go back to the chart. Many of the people are going to be in this kingdom with physical, fleshly, unredeemed bodies. Okay? And in those bodies will still be, there'll be no Satan, but there will be the law of sin still operative, working in their flesh. Still unredeemed bodies, still natural bodies, in which is a sin nature. Those people are going to have kids. They're going to repopulate the earth, and those kids will have a sin nature. Think about it with me a moment. I want you to just envision this with me. I like thinking about this stuff. That children that are born during that 1,000 years, and you can imagine with the curse being lifted, the Bible teaches people are going to live for hundreds of years like they did before the flood. People, it won't be unusual for somebody to live 700 years in the millennial kingdom. Born, and then they live to the very end of it. And so the curse will be lifted from the earth. There won't be any more war. There won't be the disease. There won't be all these things. And the children that are born during that time period are going to have to be taught that there was once a devil who deceived people on the earth. They're going to have to be taught that there was once rampant wickedness on the earth. They're going to have to be taught, you know, there used to be murder on the earth.
What's murder?
They're going to have to be taught that there was rape. They're going to have to be taught. Because remember, righteousness is going to reign on the earth. And you know, they're going to have to be taught. Did you know that back years ago, people lived 70 years and died?
Really?
They won't be able to believe it. Bible says 100 years old, still be young in the millennium. And they'll be like, wow, just like we can't believe old Noah lived 900 years, and that's just out of our realm of thinking. In the millennial kingdom, those kids aren't going to be able to believe that folks in our era lived 70 years and died. And so during this reign right here of Christ on the earth, those in fleshly bodies are going to have to make a decision concerning Jesus Christ. And that's why Satan is loose. Some of you may be thinking, why does he ever let Satan out of the bottomless pit? Remember this. When Satan is loosed, what it's going to do is it's going to force those people that are in fleshly bodies, they're going to have to make a decision concerning Jesus Christ. Every person has a free will to choose. That's a theme of your Bible. Is that all throughout the ages, is that God's not going to force himself on people. God wants a people who want him. And though, just like you have a free will to choose, to decide whether to accept or to reject Jesus Christ, those people must be given an opportunity to either receive or reject Jesus Christ. So Satan is loosed. And although outward rebellion is not going to be allowed during that 1,000 years, there are going to be people, because they're in sinful bodies, there will be people who will choose to reject Christ in their heart. They will inwardly despise Christ. They will inwardly despise his righteous reign. You say, but I can't imagine that. It's the sin nature of mankind. They don't like anybody telling them what to do. And they're going to reject Christ. And so when Satan is loosed, that'll simply give an opportunity for the wickedness of their heart to be manifested there at the end of the millennium. And in your handout, it says, sadly, many people will follow Satan in his rebellion. Many people will follow Satan in his rebellion against Christ, but will be immediately destroyed. If you look at verse 9, it says, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. In your handout, it says Satan will be cast into the lake of fire now for eternity. He doesn't go to the bottomless pit. Now he's going to go where the beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet are. He's going to go to the lake of fire. Look at verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. They're still there 1,000 years later. Okay, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. In your handout, it says, at that point, the great white throne judgment will occur. And that's found in verses 11. Verse 11 says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. And verse 11, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Verse 13, there's a resurrection here. Remember, he said the first resurrection? But then he's at the beginning. Go back to the chart. Go back to the chart. Remember, there's a resurrection at the beginning. Blessed is he that has a part in this resurrection. Then there's going to be a resurrection at the end of the 1,000 years. And in your handout, it says, this is a judgment of all unsaved people throughout the ages. This is a judgment at the great white throne of all the unsaved people throughout the ages. Go back. I want you to go, Amanda, to that chart that says God's eternal plan. Okay, this is a little different chart that I haven't brought up yet. And you'll notice at the end of this 1,000 years, the great white throne judgment occurs. Okay, and then next week we'll study when, you know, eternity, when that comes. But you've got the great white throne judgment that's going to occur, in which, here's what's going to happen. Death is going to, the Bible says there in verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. What's going to happen here is that the soul and spirit and body of those that have died without God, without Christ, will be resurrected, and they will stand one final time before God Almighty to give account for their rejection of God and His Word. And then what will happen, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay, so they'll die a second death. They died a first death. Now they're resurrected, but they're resurrected to stand before God where they're judged. And then they, boom, they're cast into the lake of fire where they die a second death. And verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, is this great white throne judgment, is that the one where we're going to stand at? Yes or no? No, no, we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. That's a different judgment. That happens way back here, okay? That happens back here at the rapture. That's a judgment of saved people. And we will be judged and we'll give an account for our life after we've been saved. But we'll all end up in heaven with Christ. This is a judgment that's going to mainly be unsaved. Now, I'll just kind of throw this tidbit out here. While most of the people here will be unsaved, probably this is also the time when believers during that 1,000-year period are also going to give an account for their lives and for the decisions that they made. And in your handout, it says, the present earth will be destroyed by fire. The present earth will be destroyed by fire. And that will be the subject of next week's C, okay? Next week, we'll look at eternity. What's going to happen after the 1,000 years and then when this earth is destroyed? What happens then? Revelation 21 and 22 will be the subject of the 20th C. All righty, let's go to God in prayer.